Stillman and Cappity is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and now Facebook Live, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus, PHOCUS.com. We're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Caroline Fenton is here. I knocked down a Focus this morning. Just want everybody to know that.
You feeling good?
I am fired up. I don't know about you guys. I don't know about, you know, Elijah's in for Ian today. I am fired up. Fired up. Watched the whole wild card weekend like all of you. Was rooting for different teams for the reasons for the Titans. Got a tiny little bit excited when the Steelers went up 7-0, but then kind of came back to reality. But by the way, I'd like to state for the record that I told everybody that they could change their mind on Friday. I said, hey, I think the Bills are better than the Chiefs, but you can change your mind. And I think you should be able to change your mind. And I noticed a lot of people today have changed their mind about the Bills and the Chiefs.
I watched about the first quarter of the Bills game, and I thought, all right, they're instantly added into my most likely to make it to the AFC Championship game.
There you go. There you go. So I sent out a tweet this morning. And boy, did people get mad at me.
That's not the first time.
Did you see what it was?
I don't think I did. I've had a pretty busy morning.
I sent out a tweet that said, ignore the noise.
Oh, I did.
And everybody was like, what are you talking about? You're a talk radio host. You are the noise. What do you mean ignore the noise?
Which is a fair point.
I'm not talking to the players. I'm not talking to the players. Listen to Robbie and Rexro today, and Joe's going on this rant about what me and Chad Withrow said about Jerry Stackhouse and Vandy basketball. I'm going to make something clear for our listeners today. Today we're going to be talking about the Titans and the Bengals. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Titans and the Bengals. Wednesday we're going to be talking about the Titans and the Bengals. Thursday we're going to be talking about the Titans and the Bengals. And guess what we're going to be talking about on Friday?
Titans and the Bengals.
The Titans and the Bengals. That's right. And also let me state for the record when I talk about blocking out the noise, the Joe and Robbie noise, or, you know, the noise that's trying to affect my brain about, you know, you'll hear a stat that gets repeated over and over again, and then everybody will believe it. And I'm just not operating like that as I drop my pen. I'm just not operating like that this week. I'm sitting here telling you what I think, and that's it, and it's Titans and Bengals. But as I add in, ignore the noise. Here's another thing I just want everybody to know. It is Bengals, not Bengals. It's been driving me nuts already this week. It's Monday.
And you addressed that with me this morning, and I've been practicing it all day. I don't think I can say Bengals.
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 Cincinnati Bengals.
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 Just don't say Bengals.
It's gonna slip out. I'm gonna say it how I say it.
Don't say Bengals. I can't. It's driving
Bengals.
Me. I was at Chris Sims on TV the other night. Bengals. 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 I'm like, oh goodness gracious. So I want to start off on the Bengals, because I think a lot of us thought that I thought the winner of the Raiders-Bengals game, which I thought was going to be the Raiders, I thought the winner of that game was going to play the Titans. I never really thought that New England was going to beat Buffalo, even though you all know how much I love Belichick. I just thought Buffalo was an elite team. As I was pointing out all last week, nobody talks about them like an elite team, but I think they're an elite team, and I certainly didn't think that Pittsburgh was going to hang close with Kansas City. So I kind of assumed the winner of the early game was who you were going to play. And it is Cincinnati. And everybody's asked me, and people will say, what do you think about the matchup with Cincinnati? And I will sit there and say, I think it's a pretty good matchup for the Titans. And everybody says the same thing. Like, oh my goodness, what about that quarterback? What about those wide receivers? Who's going to cover Jamar Chase? Who's going to cover T. Higgins? Who's going to cover Tyler Boyd? Let me ask you all a question. If you played Kansas City, who's going to cover Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, and Byron Pringle? If you played the Buffalo Bills, who's going to cover Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley and Isaiah McKenzie and Dawson Knox? You know, the Patriots have an all-pro corner in J.C. Jackson. How did he look covering them when they got no pass rush on Saturday night? Here's why the Bengals are not a bad matchup for the Titans. This is the final eight. The idea of drawing a really bad team, it happens like once every 5 or 6 years. The Titans in 2017 were an example of that. They went to Arrowhead, won a magical playoff game, and ended up in the AFC in the divisional round against the number one seeded Patriots and got their hats handed to them. Like once every 5 or 6 years that happens. That Titan team was so bad that the coach got fired the next day. Tim Tebow's Denver Broncos. Miracle play to Demaryius Thomas. May he rest in peace. Miracle play in overtime. Decent defense. Beat the Steelers. Ended up getting housed by number one seeded New England. Very rarely does an average team or a below average team like this year's Philadelphia or this year's Chargers or a team like that make it to the final eight. This is the final eight of the NFL. Even San Francisco, who I don't think is the greatest team in the world, they're in the final eight, and they're an above-average football team. So let's look at the Bengals and why I think this is a good matchup. Now remember, they won their games, the big ones that you watched, at home. They beat Kansas City at home, and they beat the Raiders on Saturday at home. Did you hear how electric that atmosphere was? By the way, lower level tickets for Sunday for Saturday's game at Nissan Stadium are going for $1,000. So home field advantage will matter. But the reason I bring this up, the 2021 Bengals this year, 7th in scoring offense, 17th in scoring defense, 13th in total offense, 18th in total defense. But here's the big stat. 17th in forcing turnovers. You know why they won that game against the Raiders? And there were a lot of things that happened in that game, but it was really a back and forth game after the Trey Hendrickson forced fumble. The Raiders turned it over inside their own 20, and that's why it was a two-score game the entire time. Meanwhile, the other teams that are still around in the tournament, the Chiefs, 4th, that's better in scoring offense. That's better than the Bengals. 8th in scoring defense. That's better than the Bengals. 3rd in total offense. That's better than the Bengals. 5th in forcing turnovers. That's better than the Bengals. And 12th in forcing interceptions. That's also better than the Bengals, who are 15th. The Bills, the other team that's left in the AFC tournament. 3rd in scoring offense, that's better than the Bengals. 1st in scoring defense, that's better than the Bengals. 5th in total offense, that's better than the Bengals. 1st in total defense, that's better than the Bengals. 3rd in forcing turnovers, that's better than the Bengals. 1st in forcing interceptions. How big was that first interception Jordan Poyer got, or excuse me, Micah Hyde got at the beginning of the game against the Patriots? The Titans, by the way, 15th in points, not as good as the Bengals, and 17th in total offense, not as good as the Bengals. Every other one of those stats, 6th in scoring defense, better than the Bengals, 12th in total defense, better than the Bengals, 14th in forcing turnovers, better than the Bengals, 7th with an all-pro safety at forcing interceptions, better than the Bengals. You are clearly drawing the 4th best team in the AFC at home. And that's why you get the bye. Now, I would have loved the Steelers too. But again, that happens once every 5 or 6 years. You get that lucky where you get to punch a magic ticket all the way to the AFC Championship game. The Bengals are an inexperienced team that really never put the Raiders away on Saturday afternoon. The Raiders were also 1 of 5 inside the red zone. Anybody else think A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry are going to be held to 1 of 5 inside the red zone if the Titans get 5 cracks at it? The other thing about the Bengals is this. They have an offensive coach who is pumped up because Joe Burrow is scoring a lot of points for him. He was the worst coach in the NFL, or at least had the worst team in the NFL, before Joe Burrow got there. Have we ever seen Joe Burrow elevate another mediocre to below average coach into best coach out there? Oh yeah, I think Caroline was there for it at LSU.
I know it all too well.
There you go. This is the best matchup. And the Bengals are a good team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Titans can't lose. They can definitely lose. They lost to Cincinnati last year. But when you look at the rest of the tournament, And you look at teams that play defense, that force turnovers, Cincinnati's not it. Buffalo is it. Kansas City is it. And that's why you'd be an underdog at home if you played either of those two teams. Titans are a 3.5-point favorite on Saturday. Cincinnati also had the unfortunate experience, and this is why a bye is very important. Just ask the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday, who lost almost their entire starting offensive line. But they lost their defensive tackle, Larry Ogunjobi, and they lost their star pass rusher, Pro Bowler, 14 sacks, fifth in the NFL, Trey Hendrickson, who's in the concussion protocol and might or might not play on Saturday. That's a big deal. You didn't lose anybody this weekend. In fact, you get Derrick Henry back. This is a great matchup. A team with very little playoff experience that is incredibly dependent on one side of the ball, that is no longer playing in the comfort of home. This is who you want to play in the playoffs. By the way, everybody always talks about the two times that the Titans were the number one seed at home and lost to the Ravens, right? We've heard that time and time again about, you know, hey, remember 2000, remember 2008. What travels when it comes to the playoffs? What do they always tell you? Hey, you can pack and play this defense. Doesn't matter if you're a dome team. Doesn't matter if you're a West Coast team. Doesn't matter if you're a South team. If you can play defense, you can go on the road and win in the playoffs. That's why Mike Vrabel has had so much success in the playoffs on the road as a head coach. He's a defensive coach. His teams, when he played, Belichick's Patriots, defensive teams. The Bengals on defense, 17th in points allowed, 18th in total defense. So a below average defense by those two metrics. They're also 17th, again, below average. There's 32 teams. Below average in forcing turnovers. The 2001 Ravens, first in defensive points allowed, second in total yards, and they were first in turning the football over. Oh yeah, they turned the Titans over. Pick six cost them the game in 2000. The 2008 Ravens, the ones that came in here and won, third in points allowed, second in total defense, and a first in turning the football over. Cincinnati is 17th. I'm not dogging on Cincinnati. I'm not saying Cincinnati's bad. I'm not saying Cincinnati doesn't have a great quarterback. I'm not saying Cincinnati doesn't have a bunch of wide receivers. But guess what? It's the final eight. Tampa Bay has a great quarterback. Green Bay has a great quarterback. The winner of tonight's game, people will say, has a great quarterback. Buffalo has a great quarterback. Kansas City has a great quarterback. Almost everybody except for you in San Francisco have a great quarterback. So no matter who you play the rest of the way, if you win this game, you'll play a great quarterback. And if you win that game, you're playing Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady because it's the playoffs. And I've always been told, offense sells tickets, defense wins games. This, in my opinion, is a good matchup for the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caroline, I can already hear it. Without even taking a phone call, without even going to the text line, I can already hear. Jared, you're getting too cocky. You're getting too arrogant. You're getting too this. You're getting too that. I can already hear it. I can hear it. I can hear you all in your cars. I can hear you watching on YouTube or Twitter, or I can hear it all. So I am going to say one thing. There is a different way I would react if my opinion mattered like it does for the players and the coaches over there. And I want to get to that next. Because there will be a lot of things you hear about Cincinnati. But I think deep down inside, Vrabel knows, hey, this team doesn't force a lot of turnovers. This team just lost one of its big run stoppers. This team defensively is below average. And he knows they're not the Chiefs, and he knows they're not the Bills. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Cincinnati matchup. Do you like it? Do you hate it? What do you think about playing Cincinnati? We'll get your thoughts in as well. We'll get Caroline's because it's a Reaction Monday, which is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Stillman and Company, Caroline wants to tell you about her friends at Caesar Sportsbook.
All right, people, it is time for the Caroline Fenton Caesar Sports Book Report. Wild Card Weekend is behind us. We've still got the Rams and the Cardinals tonight. But next up is the divisional round coming up this weekend. Now, before the games get underway, download the Caesar Sportsbook app, and they will match your first bet with a free bet up to $1,001, win or lose. Just use promo code RADIORF, one word, that is promo code RADIORF. Now, some notable wagers that have already been placed on the game tonight. One out of $110,000 on the Cardinals versus Rams under 50.5. That's -110 odds. And also another $100,000 bet on the Cardinals versus Rams under 49.5, -110 as well. So some people are feeling pretty confident about the under in the Cardinals-Rams game tonight. So if you want to do that as well, if you feel confident about it as well, do it and do it with the Caesars Sportsbook app. Must be 21, offer valid in Tennessee only. New users and first qualifying wager only. Paid in bet credit. Credit must be used within 7 days of receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. Download it, people.
There you go. That was Vrabel talking about getting ready for Cincinnati. And I was a little surprised in Vrabel's press conference today. I thought we were going to just have wall-to-wall, just, oh, Burrow, oh, God, Cincinnati. Oh, they're just so unstoppable. They're just so great. They're just incredible in their... I thought we were going to have that. I was a little surprised.
We didn't get that at all.
No, Vrabel was like very monotone, like, yeah, we got to get to work and... You know, people were asking questions about what do you think changed this season? I'm like, dude, he's not going to talk about, like, big picture stuff.
It sounded like he was ready to be done pretty early on in the press conference.
Oh, you could tell once he started talking about how every week's different, then I was like, okay, yeah,
he's done.
Yeah, he's done with this. But I can just sense the people that were saying, you know, oh, Jared, too cocky about playing the Bengals. Like, I don't know about you, but when I saw Titans-Bengals, I was like, yes, mm-hmm. Right? Like, I thought the Raiders were going to win that game on Saturday. Now, the Raiders shot themselves in the foot. I thought Saturday's game, and we'll get into Saturday's game, but like I thought that it was really hard to judge because I thought the officiating in that game was so horrendous. It was hard for me to kind of go one way or another. But it's funny because people think that like I speak for the team. And I don't think I speak for the team. The team would tell you that I don't speak for the team. You all would tell me that I don't speak for the team. I do wonder, though, like these other teams after watching the Tom Brady Man in the Arena docuseries, like if I was another city or if I was an NFL team, I would have somebody that's in charge of listening to the local radio of a team we're about to play. And then I would literally take like something that, you know, I said about, oh, Bengals, you know, they're this, they're that, whatever. And I, you know, say, hey, they think you guys suck. You know, like that's what I would do, which is why if I was Vrabel, and I'm surprised he didn't do this. I would be pumping those Cincinnati tires up. I'd be talking about Joe Burrow led the NFL in completion percentage this year, 34 touchdowns, 14 picks. He led in yards per attempt. He was second in quarterback rating. Joe Mixon made the Pro Bowl, fourth in touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase made the Pro Bowl, fourth in reception yards, third with 13 receiving touchdowns, second in yards per reception. They got all these great receivers. Trey Hendrickson made the Pro Bowl. He had 14 sacks this year. He was second in the NFL last year. He's fifth this year. That they force a bunch of fumbles. They lose Larry Ogunjobi or whatever. They lose him 7 sacks on the year, but they replace him with B.J. Hill. He had 5.5 sacks this year. So it's not like that's a big drop-off. I mean, that's really good. You know, they got guys in the back. They've redone that secondary with Eli Apple, who's played on every team, I think, in the NFL. They've got Chinobe Awuzie from the Cowboys, who was never any good for Dallas, but he's their best corner, and he had 2 interceptions this year. I mean, they're just, oh, man, and they just took the Titans to the cleaners last year, and, oh, my God, the Bengals. They are just great, 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 great. Like, if I was a member of the Titans, that's all you would hear from me this week. And it reminds me of that Man in the Arena docuseries where Vrabel was talking about how they were always thinking in their heads about going back-to-back, 2003, 2004, mm-hmm. about how that's all they talked about was going back-to-back. And then they showed Vrabel at Super Bowl Media Day in Jacksonville, and he's like, yeah, we don't really think about going back-to-back. We're just trying to think about this game.
And they say, you know, in press conferences, we're taking it one game at a time, one day at a time. You know, the most important game that we have is the next one up. And then behind the scenes, they're like, no, we're thinking about the Super Bowl. We don't sure. care about this Week 5 matchup with some podunk opponent. We're thinking about going to the Super Bowl.
That, I mean, I also don't think that the Titans are thinking about the Bills or the Chiefs right now. But I would say that if I was a member of the Titans, I'd spend all week just talking about how great the Bengals are. And you don't even need to necessarily do it because everybody else is doing it for you. I watched Sunday Countdown yesterday, which was the only show that talked about Cincinnati, and I think the only show that's going to talk about Cincinnati or the Titans all week until Saturday morning. You will not. Today and tomorrow will be all Cowboy talk. Then you'll hear, once the NFC field is set tonight, you'll hear about, oh, you know, here's Tampa Bay taking on so-and-so. What do we think about Brady versus Stafford? And we got Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. And then, you know, Aaron will say something crazy about his future. So they'll spend all the time talking about that. Then there's the Bills and the Chiefs. So that's going to be all week. So no one's talking. So Sunday Countdown yesterday did like 10 minutes where they all literally just took their pants off and talked about how much they loved Cincinnati. And if you're the Titans, all you have to do is just echo this sentiment all week. And Cincinnati is not going to feel like anybody's doubting them. Listen to Matthew Hasselbeck talk about what was the 13th ranked offense in the NFL this year.
I don't know if anything holds them back. I mean, maybe injury to one of the key guys. You saw Hendrickson go out last night with a concussion.
Ogunjobi went down.
Yeah. Right, so yeah. We don't know the status going forward. Forward health-wise, but offensively, if you're talking about the skill group, you're talking about wide receiver, running back, tight end, and a star quarterback who fears nothing. These guys on offense are offensive. A lot of times offenses will sit back and say, what are you going to do defensively? Then I'll figure out what I'm going to do. That's not the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh my God, they're just so good. I mean, nothing can hold them back. When I heard that, I thought to myself, all right, Bengals at the Bills, who wins? Oh, Bills. Okay, all right. Nothing can hold them back. I don't know. Maybe their below-average defense can hold them back. You know, Peyton Manning, and I love Joe Burrow. Peyton Manning was better than Joe Burrow. At least, you know, his full career right now is better than Joe Burrow's, which is not totally fair. But again, Peyton had like 18 seasons where he was great. Peyton Manning in Indianapolis won one Super Bowl. He went one other time. You don't think that offense was better? This offense was 13th in the NFL. They were 7th in points. You don't think Peyton's offense in Indianapolis, that had a competent offensive line with Jeff Saturday at center, that had a Hall of Fame running back, Edgerrin James, that had a Hall of Fame wide receiver, Marvin Harrison, that had a will-make-the-Hall-of-Fame wide receiver in Reggie Wayne, you don't think that offense was better?
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the most fair comparison. Because just because Joe Burrow isn't as good as Peyton Manning and this offense isn't as good as the Colts offense was back then, that doesn't necessarily mean that this Bengals team isn't good.
No, but
this Bengals offense can't win.
But I'm talking about what Matt Hasselbeck said. Like, and if I was pumping up the Bengals, which is what I would do if I was a coach, mm-hmm. Coach Jared, I would be pumping up Cincinnati. Just, they are, I mean, they're unbelievable, this team. They're 5-2 on the road. If you take out the Cleveland game this year, which they didn't play Joe Burrow, and they had already won the division, mm-hmm. and so 5-2. So they're 5-3, but they're 5-2. I could talk about that all day. They're 5-2 on the road. You want to sit here, Titans, 5-2 at home this year, 6-2 at home or whatever. About the same, right? Oh, no, the best team they beat on the road this year was the Raiders. The Raiders and the Steelers. Easily the only two playoff teams they beat on the road. So you can make it the argument however you want. I'm just talking about the Hasselbeck clip where he's sitting there like, I don't think anything could stop this offense. I'm like, you know, you played in the NFL when people stopped Peyton Manning from going to the Super Bowl. Like, that's what good defense stops good offense.
And plays along to that narrative of the fact that watching a good offense is really fun.
Sells tickets.
And it's sexy. It's fun to watch a high-powered offense and a quarterback that can throw it 40 yards down the field.
Also,
But
for this great high-powered offense that we keep talking about with Cincinnati, that again was 13th in total offense and 7th in total points, how many points they score against the Raiders?
30-something.
I don't think they scored 30.
Did they not? I don't know the score off the top of my head.
I mean, like, that. I saw how many points Buffalo scored.
A lot.
And I saw
every time the ball was in their hands, they scored.
Kansas City ran out of fireworks. I mean, like, we need to... The national narrative is going to just pump the Bengals up, or at least, you know, now they're going to stop talking about them. But if I were the Titans, oh, my God, I'd spend all week just, oh. See, this is what I would say in the meeting rooms if I was the coach. And I don't know if Vrabel's taking this approach, because he's not taking the approach what I'm saying outside of the meeting rooms, which would be just to get on your knees and talk about how much you love Joe Burrow and how he's the greatest guy and the Bengals offense is unstoppable. And even though they gave up an NFL league-high 51 sacks this year, how they are just incredible. Everything that Matthew Hasselbeck just said right there. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. If I were in the meeting rooms, I'd be telling the guys, like, you can beat this team. Like, this team, everybody's telling them how great they are. And they're good. Make no mistake about it. Take it seriously. But, like, you can beat these guys. Mm-hmm. Because that's how I look at Cincinnati. I look at it like, yeah, Cincinnati's a good team. Everybody who's playing right now is a good team. The worst team that's playing right now, San Francisco probably, and you barely beat them at home on a Thursday. So everybody's good. But I'd be walking around saying, yeah, I mean, look, I get it. Everybody loves all these points they're putting up. Everybody loves, you know, Ja'Marr Chase. And
the narratives are very fun.
You can beat this team. That's what I'd be saying inside the locker room. Outside the locker room, I'd be just, oh, my God, they're just so great. 615-737-1025. Let's get to your thoughts on the Bengals. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Plus, the one thing I will tell you about Cincinnati, that there was something about Cincinnati that I was floored about. It's the one thing about them that I will say and unequivocally put my hands in the air and say, look, yes. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. By the way, they are a big part of our playoff coverage this year. I'm really glad of that, because I'm glad anytime we get Hiller in the mix with anything, because anytime you use Hiller, they are fantastic. They took great care of my home, and I promise you, they can do the exact same for you, and they will do the exact same for you. And again, I know this because I use Hiller at my home and have been using them at my home for 4 years. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. To help customers tackle necessary replacements, my friends at Hiller are extending their lower 2021 pricing through the end of January. So this is the lowest pricing that is expected all year. You've noticed all the inventory shortages and empty shelves, and now there are serious shortages on equipment and products for your home. HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, generators are all going to be extremely limited this year. And because of supply issues and rising costs for parts, you know what I'm talking about, manufacturers are rapidly increasing the price of this equipment. If you need a replacement, call Hiller today. Don't wait until you are out of options. Hiller is always backed by the Happy You'll Be or the Services Free Guarantee, and you can learn more at happyhiller.com. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of our playoff coverage, the Predators, the Tennessee Volunteers, and Vanderbilt. Call the Happy Face Truck today. There you go. That was Rex Ryan talking about, boy, the next Tom Brady and Joe Burrow. Maybe a little too strong for me there.
It's a little early to say that.
But I'm going to say this.
He hasn't even played a full season in the NFL.
I'm going to say this about the Bengals. Because, again, I think this is a great matchup. But this is exactly the kind of team that you want to play coming into the season. This is the kind of team you want to play in the Final Eight. This is the team you want to play at home in the divisional round. The one thing is that Joe Burrow is that dude. Like, Joe Burrow is a bad boy. Like, that's the one thing that, you know, everybody gets. What about these receivers, Jared? What are they going to do? And I was like, did you not see them play the Chiefs earlier this year? The Chiefs had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And no offense, because these Bengals receivers are awesome. But, I mean, I'd rather have Kansas City's collection with, like, the four guys and Kelce. Now, this is McKinnon at running back. This may be a whole nother story. But I'd rather have Kansas City's collection than have Cincinnati's collection.
Why?
Because Kansas City literally has all pros.
Yeah.
Like, they have all pros. I don't think Cincinnati, and I love Ja'Marr Chase, they don't have a single guy as good as Travis Kelce. Like, as impactful in a game as Travis Kelce.
If you were to ask me, who do you want to invest in for the next 5 to 10 years, I would say the Cincinnati wide receiver core. If who am I taking this year in the playoffs? Which receiving core do I want? Kansas City.
I mean, Cincinnati went for it on a fourth down because they didn't want to give the ball back to Kansas City on the road. Like, that's how little faith they had in their defense was in that game a couple weeks ago. They did not want to give the ball back to Mahomes with any time.
Well, why would you?
Right, but it almost, if they didn't get that flag, you know, in the end zone, which, you know, Kansas City fans thought was a bad flag, and everybody's going to think it's whatever. I mean, Dallas fans are upset about something today. They don't even know the rules. And Tony Romo told them the rules during the broadcast, and they don't know the rules, so I don't, you know, whatever. But they got Mixon's good. The receivers are good. They're good. But Joe's the team. Like, Joe is the team. This coach, I heard Colin Cowherd. He's a great young coach. Were you saying that 2 years ago? This great young coach, by the way, has got his star franchise quarterback sacked 51 times. That's an NFL high. It also should be noted Joe Burrow is coming off of a devastating knee injury. If there was something that you wanted to do, it would be to protect him a little bit, right?
You'd think.
Especially against the Titans. Their defense, again, they paid a lot of money for Trey Hendrickson. He's really good. Now, is he going to play? I don't know. They got some good pieces. This DJ Reader, who's a defensive tackle that they have, Vrabel loves him. He was Vrabel's nose tackle at the Texans, and Vrabel loves him. And he's not a stat guy, but he is a space eater, run stop. Vrabel loves him. But all these guys have played in the NFL for a long time. Eli Apple's been on like 6 teams in 5 years. Chidobe Awuzie was on Dallas for years. Jesse Bates, the safety's pretty good. But Reader was with the Texans. These guys are all, it's a fine, it's, you know, it's a below average defense. So Joe is carrying the entire team with his receivers to the finish line. And that will only get you so far. Think about Joe's defense in college. How many guys on the LSU team went in the first or second round?
Like 3 or 4.
Like, literally, Ke'Lavon Chaisson did, Grant Delpit did,
Patrick Queen,
Christian Fulton did. Like, that
he didn't
entire
go in the first round, but
I said first or second.
Yes, first or second.
Which is the same as Delpit.
Yes.
You know, all these guys went the first or second round. That's why that team was incredible. Joe carried that coach. We know that. We know. What happened to the coach as soon as Joe left? Terrible. What happened to Joe Brady without Joe Burrow? Terrible. Joe has spent his entire career carrying, for at least the last 4 years, carrying everybody around him for the most part. And that's what he's doing with the Bengals. So when I talk about Cincinnati, and I look at him and I say, hey, below average defense, you know, coach really hasn't been there, done that yet, you know, not an established type guy. Reality is, it's him. It's a horrible offensive line. Horrible offensive line. But it's Joe. Joe's a bad dude. And that, you will not hear me change my tone on Joe Burrow all week. If there's one reason you're going to lose, it's Joe Burrow. Now, everybody will say, well, can the DB stop the receiver? I don't care about that. I will not care about that all week.
Because the short answer is no.
They won't stop them. They won't stop the Bills. They won't stop the Chiefs.
No.
What's the key to the Titans' defense?
The pass rush.
The defensive line. What's the weakness of the Bengals? The offensive line. What's the game? That. So that and Ryan Tannehill not turning the football over. That's what it's about. 615-737-1025. Reaction Mondays powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water. With a spark, drink Focus, phocus.com. What do we have in our text line? Which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Shane texts in and says, I do like the matchup against Cincinnati, and I agree when you say if you can play defense, then you can win, and I think we've got a pretty good one.
So I was thinking about this when the Titans were on the verge of getting the number one seed because it looked like all of those teams that were going to be in the top four that are now the top four, it looked like that's who it was going to be. And I was stunned when I found out Joe Burrow didn't make the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert. Stunned Josh Allen not in the Pro Bowl. I figured that the three Pro Bowl quarterbacks out of the AFC were Mahomes, Burrow, and Josh Allen, because I think they're the three best quarterbacks in the AFC. So I was surprised by that. But the reason I say this is because in 2003, the Patriots were the number one seed in the AFC. And Brady, you know, they were not what we think of as the Patriots. You know, now they had won a lot of games and they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year, their second one. But it wasn't like they were, you know, the Patriots at that point. And so they went into that. The Patriots had the 17th ranked offense. The number two seed Kansas City had the second ranked offense. The number three seed Indianapolis had the third ranked offense. And the fourth seed Tennessee had the eighth ranked offense. By the way, Kansas City, Trent Green, Indianapolis, Peyton Manning, Tennessee, Steve McNair had the three Pro Bowl quarterbacks. McNair and Manning split the MVP. And yet in the playoffs, where Indianapolis scored 41 points in their first game and 38 points in their second game, they scored 14 in the AFC Championship game. In the divisional round at New England, the Titans scored 14. So that's my always thought about defense. You know, at the end of the day, would you rather have a high-flying, can't-stop-them offensive team or a shut-them-down defensive team? And I know what the fans want.
It's fun to watch an offense.
But in reality, Trent Dilfer has as many Super Bowls doing it that way as Patrick Mahomes has doing it his way, as Aaron Rodgers has doing it his way, as Kurt Warner had greatest show on turf doing it that way. Peyton won two Super Bowls. Peyton won one in Indianapolis doing it that way. He won the second one in Denver because Von Miller was unbelievable, and that was an incredible defense. What else we got the text line?
Another texter texts in and asks, in King we trust, but what do we think we'll see from him in the playoffs?
There is no way for me to tell you that. I have no idea. We'll spend all week hearing what they say about Derrick Henry. Nobody in Vrabel's press conference, this is how well-trained Vrabel has the local media. Nobody in Vrabel's press conference asked him about Derrick Henry this week. Mm-hmm. Cameron Wolf, who works now for the NFL Network, used to be TD before TD. Cameron Wolf tweeted out, so my guess is Vrabel had to talk to the NFL Network afterwards.
Right.
Said, yeah, they haven't made a determination on Henry. They'll see where he's at, you know, whatever. But, like, they asked about Henry, and Vrabel very noncommittal there either. Derek's going to play. They're going to treat Derek like he's Derek. I don't know what you're going to get out of him. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to your phones, your reaction. 615-737-1025. I do have a playoff thought that I want to get to from the weekend as well. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there that when the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you will win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate tomorrow morning at 8:45. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company here on a Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus Naturally Caffeinated Sparkling Water with a Spark. Drinkfocus.com. So we will be spending all week on the Titans and the Bengals. And, by the way, this is the most anticipation I've felt for a playoff game in this town probably since, like, 2002, 2003.
That's crazy.
2003, yeah.
What's different about this year?
So, like, the end of the Jeff Fisher years, they just had no, like on offense, they sucked. Mm-hmm. Like, Kerry Collins, Vince Young, like, they sucked. So, forget about that. The Malarkey year, everybody hated the coach. Like, it was unbelievable. Me and Floyd were the only two people on the planet who liked the coach. Everybody else hated the coach. They wanted him fired. They wanted to get rid of him, you know, whatever. And they won a playoff game. And it was like everybody spent all week talking about the Titans could beat the Patriots. And I held it back all week that I was going to pick the Patriots to blow them out. Two times that I've literally hidden it all week that I thought the Titans were going to get blown out. Patriots that year, Chiefs AFC Championship game. I didn't want to do it on Monday and then have it be a whole thing the whole week about Jared thinks they're going to get blown out by the Patriots. Oh, yeah, Jared, you don't believe in us. And I just, you know, so I just waited till Friday. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, whatever. That team could not compete. And that they won a playoff game was a minor miracle, and they still fired the coach. So, whatever. They ducked in the last day of the year, the 2019 season. And, like, it was fun. I also think, too, like, something that kind of took away from it was this year's been pushed back a week with the extra game. So that Patriot week was like that week of New Year's and Christmas. Mm-hmm. So it's like how many people are at work and they got so much stuff going on and they're not back to normal life. The Ravens game, people were pretty fired up. The AFC Championship game, people were pretty fired up. But I don't think they were as fired up as they are now. That's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong. I do want to get onto this, though. We'll get back to your Bengals, Texan calls in just a second. So the NFL, 2 years ago, basically the collective bargaining agreement got done. COVID happened. And like they got it in right before COVID. And part of the deal that the owners really wanted was the 17th game, but more importantly, the seventh playoff seed. Why did they want the seventh playoff seeds? Because it gave them two extra playoff games. What did they do with that playoff game? Everybody was wondering yesterday, and Troy Aikman was complaining about it, why did CBS have the NFC game of San Francisco and the Cowboys? And it's because CBS paid $70 million extra to have the 3:30 Sunday spot on Super Wild Card Weekend. $70 million for one game.
$70 million more.
That's more than $2 million a club.
Jeez.
So that's why they did it. I get it. I understand it. You know, I watched all the games this weekend. I'm going to watch the game tonight. These seven seeds suck. I mean, like, last night, the Steeler game was awful.
It was a snooze fest.
Like, if you give up a touchdown to Buffalo early, Kansas City, good luck to you on Sunday. But that Steeler team, they were awful. They did not belong in the playoffs, which highlights for you how bad Indianapolis choked this year that they didn't get in and that crap Steeler team got in. And then I'm watching the Eagles yesterday. And I kind of hate it. This is the only place where I kind of like the seven seed is that Tampa Bay had injuries on the offensive line yesterday. Big injuries to the line. And I'm like, okay, now that really differentiates the difference between being number one and being number two. The situation that Tampa Bay finds themselves in, whereas Green Bay didn't lose anybody yesterday. But I didn't need to watch that game. Jalen Hurt, that team is terrible. That Eagles team is terrible. And so what we've done, last year, Mitch Trubisky and the Chicago Bears were the seventh seed. We don't need the seventh seed. Like, this is what's going to happen in the college football playoff when we get 53-0 games in the first round. We don't need it.
It already kind of exists with just four teams.
It exists with four. Like the average margin of victory, I think, in the college football playoff is like 19 or 22 points, or it's something ridiculous.
See, when you're playing the top four best teams in the country, that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't get blown out when you're, say, the fourth best team in the country, but that's just how it works.
We do not need. I'm trying to be nice here. We do not need all these teams in the playoffs.
And those games had completely different feels to them. From the very first down, those games had such different feels to them. Now that Patriots-Bills game, now that was fun. That was exciting. The 49ers game yesterday, that was fun. That was exciting.
That's the worst coach and worst quarterback game by four people. Because everybody's making it out about McCarthy and Dak. But, I mean, Shanahan and Jimmy did their, I mean, they, you
it
know,
wasn't a pretty game.
They're guilty, too.
But, I mean, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, like, I had a tough time watching it all the way through just because I knew from the very beginning.
I think part of it is that they
how it was going
to
go.
I think part of it is that they don't belong in the playoffs to begin with, like the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also putting them up against the second-best team.
Exactly.
It's like.
And that's how the playoffs work.
Like, when we add games in the NCAA tournament, we add, like, 16s playing each other to then turn around and play the one. If we add another 16 versus one in the NCAA tournament, whoop-de-freaking-do. Like, no thanks. Oh, God, it's awful. These games are awful. That game last year, the Bears and Saints, that game was terrible. And this game was terrible with the Steelers, and this game was terrible with the Eagles. Now, the Colts and Bills played a good game last year, so we've had four games and one good one. But, I mean, just awful. 615-737-1025. Back to your phones and the Bengals. What about their performance Saturday? I can guarantee you most of you out there have not sat down and watched a Bengals game this year. And if you have watched a Bengals game this year before the game Saturday, it was probably that Thursday nighter against Jacksonville.
Which was gross.
Which was awful. So now that we watched the Bengals, were we impressed by the game? I've got some thoughts on it. I know you got some thoughts on it. We'll get your thoughts on it next. Stillman and Company, Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus Naturally Caffeinated Sparkling Water with a Spark Drink, Focus.com.